Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
First United Methodist Church, for those of you who are here in person, we want to extend a nice, warm welcome to you. And for those of you who are watching from the comfort of your own home, we extend a warm welcome to you as well, for those of us who are worshiping online. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's my joy to welcome you here. If you are present in person, you know that it's a brisk 60 degrees today. And what that tells me is that for all of you who were praying last week, as we sat out here on this lawn in the 90 degree temperature, oh God, please send us some more mild and cool weather. God answers prayer. And so here we are praying, maybe instead of fighting over which spots in the shade we get to sit in this week, some of us are fighting over who gets to move into the sunshine. And we give thanks for all of the seasons here in Michigan. And we're grateful for an opportunity to gather together and worship right here in this beautiful space. We pray that the Holy Spirit would touch you and your life. As we gather here, we know that there are folks who are listening to our radio station, which I have sort of jokingly said, like, UMC number one or something like that. So if you're listening in the parking lot, we want to extend our warm greeting to you as well. And we're grateful that there are so many different ways that people can plug into worship as we gather here this day. We're grateful for Susan and Mike and Eric as they'll be leading us in song. And we pray that this morning as we gather for worship, the Holy Spirit would touch your life, that you would have an opportunity to hear the word proclaimed, the scriptures read, prayers lifted. As we gather this morning, we gather acknowledging all of the damage that Hurricane Laura did, as the damage in Louisiana and Texas has been coming through our news feeds. We pray for our brothers and sisters down south who are recovering from that storm. We pray for our nation, and we lift up all of the realities of injustice that are taking place in our nation and all around. As we gather for worship this morning, we pray God's Spirit would touch your heart. May God add a blessing to us as we gather this day. Amen.
Good morning. I'm Sue Urban, and I invite you to pray with me. God of all people, remind us of our thirst for a more just and better world. Help us to seek justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with you. May this worship service be a blessing to all those who have come to hear your word proclaimed and your songs of faith sung. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scripture this morning is from the book of John, chapter 4. Jesus left Judea and started back to Galilee, but he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying it to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sue, for reading the scripture message for us this morning. Church, it is great to be with you in worship. It's great to be worshiping with you online or in person on this glorious day. As Pastor John mentioned, those prayers certainly were answered as we have cooler weather. I don't know about you, but it feels like fall's around the corner, and all of a sudden, I would really love to be drinking some cider and eating a donut this morning. Anybody else really wish that? Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Oh, holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this glorious day, for the sunshine and the cool weather, for the gathered church community and the community that's with us online. We give you thanks for your love that never ends and your grace that never fails. We give you thanks for giving us water each and every day that fills us up. Oh God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, God. You who are our rock and our redeemer. And all the people said, Amen. Well, I remember in the late 1980s pulling into the parking lot of a local grocery store in my hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska. My mom was driving the family minivan. Maybe it was the station wagon at that time. I'm not quite sure. But she was driving, and I was in the back seat of the vehicle. I was a young child. I was probably about 7 years old at the time. As we turned into the grocery store, I noticed a man standing in a patchy, grassy area of the parking lot, and he held firmly in his hands a brown cardboard sign. Written in black ink were the letters that said, "We'll work for food." "What's that man doing?" I asked my mom. "He's holding a sign that says, 'We'll work for food, Lindsay,'" is what my mom replied. "Well, why does he want food?" I asked. "Because he's hungry, probably thirsty too," my mom answered. Well, we parked the vehicle and we headed into the store, and an hour or so later, we loaded our groceries back into the van and we headed on home. And as we drove by that man holding that sign, I wondered why he didn't just go into the grocery store and buy some food. If he was hungry or if he was thirsty, why didn't he just go on in and buy a bottle of water? At 7 years old, that was a perfectly good solution to being hungry. Just go into the store and buy some food to eat and have something to drink. But it's more complicated than that, isn't it? I don't know the life story of that man on the street corner asking for some food assistance. I'm not sure why he found himself in this position of food insecurity. Whatever his life journey was, whatever his story was, he probably had been dealt some cards that were pretty hard. Maybe he'd lost his job. Maybe he didn't have family or friends to rely upon. Perhaps he was born into poverty and struggled his whole life. Maybe he had poor physical health or poor mental health that had obstacles all of their own. I don't know the man's story. Some 30 years later, I can still remember that sign, "We'll work for food," and it breaks my heart knowing that food insecurity is a reality for so many in our community, especially these days as so many people are unemployed or underemployed. Being hungry and thirsty is just a reality for many of us in the world these days. Last week, and as Pastor John preached, he asked this question. He said, "Do you remember the last time you were really thirsty?" I'm going to ask that for us again today. Do you remember the last time you were really hungry or you were really thirsty? Maybe you went without a meal, or maybe you just hadn't had enough water to drink. Earlier this week, I woke up with the most terrible headache. This oftentimes happens to me in the summertime when the weather is warm and you just don't get enough water to drink and you start to feel a little dehydrated. Well, I woke up with a terrible headache, and so I turned on the faucet and I gulped down some well water. And sure enough, pretty quickly my headache was gone. All I needed was some water to quench that thirst, and I was incredibly fortunate how easily I could just turn on the faucet, and there the water flowed freely. Well, in the scripture lesson this morning, Jesus also finds himself in need of a drink of water. You know, he's tired and he's thirsty from traveling, and if he could just have some cool water, that's what he needed. Well, thankfully, Jesus met somebody at the well that day who had a bucket. He showed up empty-handed, but he met somebody at the well that day, and that person he met at the well was a woman who had a bucket. He was in luck. Well, from our perspective, from the 21st century perspective, it might have been perfectly fine. We might see that it was perfectly fine for Jesus and this woman to converse, to have some conversation, to dialogue back and forth. But layered with cultural and societal expectations that day and that time, it was actually quite taboo for Jesus and this woman to engage in dialogue together. You see, women in Jesus' day had very little power, very little authority. Their identity was actually through their husband or through their father. You'll notice in the scripture, the woman isn't even identified by her name. We don't have a name for this woman. She's just this woman that we meet at the well. Well, as we read on in the scripture fully, if we were to finish out John's gospel, chapter 4 of this scripture story, maybe this is your homework assignment this week to finish reading chapter 4 of John's gospel. If you were to read it further under the passage, we learn that this woman is currently living with a man who's not her husband. And prior to this relationship, she had 5 husbands. Now, we're not given any insight into these relationships. Maybe she was widowed or divorced or abandoned. Again, it's not really told to us. But again, it's important to note that women in Jesus' day didn't have power or control or say in such relationships. Men did. And so yet the layers of cultural shame would have been placed upon her. Some scholars are really quick to look at this story and jump to the conclusion that because this woman must have had some kind of a shady past, people jump to that conclusion, that maybe that's why she showed up at the well at noon. Maybe to avoid people, to bypass the crowd. Maybe the layers of cultural shame got placed upon her, and she was ashamed of who she was for some reason. And maybe that's why she showed up at the well at noon. Most people would come in the cool early morning hours or late into the evening. Maybe that's why she came at noon. Perhaps. Scholars often jump to that conclusion. Perhaps. But I see this woman as strong and as courageous. Not someone who slinks around trying to bypass crowds or avoid people. Because again, as you were to finish out the chapter, if you were to read through the rest of chapter 4, when the woman discovers who Jesus is, she drops her bucket right there at the well, leaving it behind. And when she discovers that he's the Messiah, when she discovers that he can offer life-giving water and grace flowing freely, she drops her bucket right there at the well in that moment and goes back to the town to tell all those around her encounter with Jesus. Without hesitation, she becomes an evangelist and a preacher to report her experience proclaiming Jesus' message of life-giving water. So I see this woman as strong and as courageous and as bold and as brilliant. This woman isn't weak, she's a warrior. She's a survivor of a system, of a cultural system, of a society that would seek to oppress her or put her in her place. She's probably survived some challenging life experiences, whatever those reasons are for having five husbands, widowed or divorced or some other kind of tragic situations. She's probably had those challenging experiences and she's still standing on her feet that day. As Jesus and the woman conversed around the well at noon that day, not once, not even once, did Jesus criticize her or pass judgment on that woman. I'm sure she received that enough from the society around her, but Jesus, not one time, passed judgment or criticism. Instead, from Jesus, she received grace upon grace and the gift of free-flowing, life-giving, abundant water. That's good news, church. When we're met with challenging life experiences, how do we respond? When we meet others who have gone through challenging life experiences, how do we respond? With judgment and criticism? When our family or our friends or our neighbors make choices other than we might make for ourselves, how do we respond? Do we respond with grace and support? I'm preaching to myself here this morning, too. Some of the greatest sermons us preachers have to tell ourselves. I'm not just preaching to you all. I'm preaching to myself as well. As Jesus and the woman visited at the well, we learned that she was also a Samaritan. There's little parentheses in verse 9 that indicate that she's a Samaritan there that day. Now, again, with 21st century vision and eyes, we might quickly kind of bypass that note. But the audience in Jesus' day would have been appalled that he stopped and he visited not just with a woman, but with a Samaritan woman. You see, Jews and Samaritans had a challenging history. Samaritans were the outcasts of society. They were really the ones kind of pushed to the margins of society. They were thought to be less than. But of course, Jesus didn't see her this way. He wasn't afraid to engage in conversation with a Samaritan. He wasn't afraid to trek right through Samaria. He wasn't afraid to enter the land where the Samaritans lived. In fact, at the beginning of the scripture that Sue read for us, if you caught, there's a little geography lesson there for us. At the beginning, we learned that Jesus is in Judea, and he's traveling to Galilee. So Judea was a region in the south, and Galilee is a region in the north, and in between is Samaria. Now, Jesus could cut right through Samaria, making the shortest route from Judea straight north up to Galilee. Or he had a second route, second travel option. He could go around Samaria, traveling east of the Jordan River, but this route would take him twice as long. Most people, when they're journeying or they're going on a journey, right, you want to take the quickest route to your destination. Who wants to spend more time traveling or put more gas in the tank? You want to go for the most cost-efficient, time-savings route. But in Jesus' day, many people opted for that longer route. It was more popular, it was more common, because Jews wanted to avoid the Samaritans by bypassing the region altogether. They'd make the journey twice as long just to do so. Samaritans were despised. They were people that were seen as unlovable. They were avoided. They were ignored. Even Jewish children were taught to shun Samaritans as they were raised. Think about that for a moment. Being a Samaritan meant that people thought you were less than, that you were unlovable. Being a Samaritan meant that you were pushed to the margin of society. Can you imagine for a moment what it must have felt like to be a Samaritan? Can you imagine for a moment what it must have felt like to have a negative reputation which prohibited people from really getting to know you? Can you imagine how painful it must have been to be judged by your name rather than by the content of your character? In Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech that he gave in 63, he said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." For Samaritans, they were judged from the outside long before they had the opportunity for anyone to get to know their character. And in 63, when Dr. King spoke of this reality as he marched on Washington, we know this still happens today, doesn't it? People are judged based upon the names they hold or their physical characteristics about them. People are made to be modern-day Samaritans today. Who do we know that are those modern-day Samaritans? Who can you recall that's thought to be less than, that's pushed to the margins, that's thought to be unlovable? It doesn't take long for us to kind of scroll through our mental Rolodex until we can come up with whom in society is quickly judged. We can quickly come up with who society quickly criticizes. It's those people without power and without privilege and without opportunity and without voices to be heard, even if they're shouting. As we read this story of the woman at the well, it's a glorious story. It's a challenging story, and it's a story where we learn that Jesus starts to kind of push some boundaries and some barriers. It's a challenging story for us to digest, to get our minds around. When cultural norms and societal expectations said that he couldn't talk to her because she was a female, he did it anyway. When society and the expectations told him that he shouldn't talk to her because she's a Samaritan, he did it anyway. Jesus saw people as people. Religious differences, gender differences, life experience differences weren't going to prohibit Jesus from seeing someone as fully human and fully loved by God. I think that's beautiful. When we look into the eyes of our neighbor, who do we see? When we look to somebody onto our left or onto our right, if their faith or their theology is different, how do we embrace them? When our neighbor or our friend or our family member or our Facebook friend or the people we're following on Instagram have different life experiences or they express different political views than ourselves, how do we embrace them? Jesus saw people as people. He loved them and he embraced them fully. He didn't hesitate for a moment to offer this woman life-giving water. Instead, he was quick to offer this free gift of love and grace. Amen? How good it feels to be able to come to the fountain and drink from the spring of living water. How good it feels to receive Jesus, the source of life that's offered to us without a cost, no strings attached, just a gift of love and grace. So if you were to journey to the well on a hot summer day, if you were to find yourself there at noon, what might you thirst for? If you were to come to the well, what might you be thirsting for? I'll tell you, I thirst for justice and peace to pour down from heaven. I thirst for God's love to be known and experienced throughout all the world, that neighbor might look out for neighbor and care for creation. I thirst for compassion and mercy to flow freely like streams of living water. I thirst for grace to be given freely, for it to splash about like big puddles. I thirst for churches to continue to be and work towards being if they aren't already. I thirst for churches to be places where people young and old and gay and straight and black and white and Democrat and Republican can come and be who they are and be accepted and be embraced. I thirst for churches to be places where sinners and saints can experience God's grace. We're all a mixture of both, aren't we? Both sinner and saint. I thirst for our good human nature and the divine spark within us to outweigh our temptation to criticize and to judge those around us. And I thirst for us to break bread around the communion table, to break the bread and to share the body of Christ, not to break one another down, but to break the bread. I thirst to look into the eyes of someone whom I might see as my enemy, and realize that I'm really looking into the eyes of Jesus, to see the good in them even when we disagree. I thirst for people like women at the well, for people who are made to be modern-day Samaritans, to be fully accepted and loved just as they are. What do you thirst for this day, church? What do you come to the well seeking? What do you thirst for? When I think back to the grocery store visit when I was about, 7 years old, I couldn't tell you what we did. I wish I could tell you how the rest of that story went. I just can't remember. I can't remember if we stopped and offered a bag of groceries or provided some financial assistance. I can't remember if we directed him towards a church or a social service agency. I can't quite remember. Knowing my mom, I'm sure she did offer some expression of kindness, but I just can't quite remember this morning what we did. But what I do wonder is, I wonder what that man that day thirsted for. He thirsted for food and for water physically, but I wonder what he thirsted for that day. I wonder if he thirsted for someone to love him and embrace him and bring him into a community such as this. For someone to look into his eyes and to see Jesus. This day, church, what do we thirst for? And how might we be that ever-flowing, ever-giving, grace-filled expression of Jesus in this world? Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Lindsay, for your message this morning. As we transition into a time of receiving our offering, I want to remind us that there are so many different ways to respond to God's word in our midst. I've been watching as Mary Margaret, who just made her way in the building, has been standing next to the camera with an umbrella to shield the camera from the sun's rays. A couple of weeks ago, we realized we didn't have a personnel problem as it came to tech, but we did have an equipment problem. And so we sent out a note acknowledging that our live stream hadn't been what we hoped it would be, and you all responded with gifts that supported us to help us make sure that our technology worked. A couple of days ago, a group from our church went out to the Mill Pond Manor and distributed masks that had been sewed by members of this church all throughout that community, along with little bottles of hand sanitizer. And this weekend I received a phone call from somebody in that community who was asking for some support so that her and her family might be able to get a car to have transportation to go to work. These are incredibly difficult financial times. But thanks to the support of one of our 8 o'clock worshipers, we're going to be able to help this woman get a car. It was a used car. It was a small amount of money. But right after the service at 8 a.m., somebody came running up and said, "Here, I want her to have a car. We might never know this person's name." But that's the kind of generosity that this church is filled with. And I hope that folks far and wide know that if they're holding up a sign that says, "I need food outside of our church," that this is a place that people can come to eat. That this is a place that if folks are hungry in Central United Methodist Church in Detroit, we'll provide them with something to eat. Thank you, Bill. So this is an opportunity for folks to respond to God's word in our midst. There are offering baskets at the entry table as you walk into this worship space. In a little bit, we'll invite you to share your offering. There are a couple of baskets out there as you go. As you leave this worship service, we hope that you'll make a contribution so that the ministries of this church can continue to thrive and can continue to bless people in our community who perhaps need food now more than ever. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you so much. As we enter into a time of prayer, I want to invite you to pray over this prayer quilt. The quilt was layered in prayer as it was made. The knots holding the layers together will be tied in prayer. And now we ask you, if you would right now, to raise a hand and bless this quilt and pray that she can be literally wrapped in our prayers. Healing and merciful God, we prepare this quilt and ask that your love, healing, and strength are a comfort to her. May all these prayers and blessings lift her spirits and bring her closer to you. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. I first remember hearing the phrase, prayer is a call to action, when I was in South Africa. South Africa, a country back then that had not yet cast aside its racist policies, where people of color had fewer rights and privileges than white people. I am deeply saddened that today in the United States, we also still struggle with racial equity and violence against God's children. As we pray, let us listen for God's voice and God's nudges for how we are called to respond. Will you pray with me? Loving and grace-giving God, we thank you and praise you for this glorious morning, for the cool breezes and the warming sun. We lift this worship service up as a prayer and a thanksgiving for all the blessings and mercies you shower on us. We each can name in our hearts the things and the people we give thanks for. Together, we thank you for clean water. Water running fresh through our homes, water for recreation, and water in the form of rain that nourishes crops and beautifies the earth. At the same time, we know that not everyone has access to clean and fresh water. For this, we reach out to you and ask, what now? What now are we to do to help our brothers and sisters around the world? Guide us, Lord, toward your perfect solution to share your living, healing, and abundant water. We pray, too, for families and communities in Louisiana and Texas as they pick up the pieces in the wake of Hurricane Laura. We pray for their safety and their well-being. Lord, we pray for families and communities right here at home and across the world facing the effects of the coronavirus. For those who are sick, we seek your healing. For those who are lonely and isolated, we seek your comfort. For those who are out of work or struggling in their jobs, we seek your creative mercy. And we ask, how can we be your hands and feet in this time, in this moment? Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for those who are facing difficult diagnoses, mental or physical pain, a new school year full of new kinds of stresses that tax their bodies and their minds. Lord, may they find hope and new life by turning to you in all things. We pray for our leaders and our church. In this world, there are turbulent times and we find ourselves in. We yearn for good news. We yearn for time with family and friends. We yearn to be free of the anxiety and fear that builds up around us.
Lord, we lay these burdens at your feet because they are too much for us to carry. Guide us toward your perfect solutions. We recognize that each of us has been given different gifts, and you may direct us in different ways, on different paths. Help us to hear you in this moment of prayer, and throughout this week, as we may be bombarded by louder noises, remind us to seek your face and listen for your voice. Each one hearing this prayer is your beloved child, and together we lift up the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Mike, Eric, and Susan for your music ministry. Hasn't it been wonderful to worship this morning? God is good and truly worthy to be praised. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, as we leave this time of worship, I would encourage you to connect with Bill Drabing. He's going to be over here at the hospitality table. There's an opportunity for you to serve and be a part of the NOAA project where you can bring some food items back to church. So connect with Bill. If Bill wants to give a wave, you can connect with Bill and be a part of the NOAA project ministry in that way. Well, church, as we leave this time of worship, may the love of God always be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you. And may the power of the Holy Spirit surround you and transform you. So that this week, as we look into the eyes of our family and our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers, and as we live our lives, as we look into the eyes of people, we might see Jesus. And we might not only receive that amazing, life-giving, ever-flowing, grace, bubbling, filled water from Jesus, but we might also offer that to others. Go in peace this day. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.